Suppose there are people who say the world is real. There are people who say the world is unreal. And some philosophers. So an Advaitin has to say the world is neither real nor unreal. Because it is existent, it is however experienced, not unreal. At the same time, it doesn't have independent existence, so it's not real. It is mithya. So we give it as it has a seeming reality. Appo the people who say the world is real, what they say, I am, therefore the world is. Naan irikkiren, adhaan indha ulagam irikkirathu. Ulagam irukku artham, real artham. Appo we call subjective idealism solradhu. Ana in the teaching, when you are in the starting, you have to distinguish yourself to see that, no, in the very drishyaveka prakriya itself, we have to, when you use it, you have to say the world itself is because I am, which means there is no world without myself being around. And the differential punjukuram. That is why we start like this. And the prakriya solrame, the prakriya itself will be meaningless otherwise. எந்த கான்டெக்ட்ல என்ன சொல்லணும் பாத்துக்கணும். தட் இஸ் ஃபை வி டோன்ட் கோ தட் அது லேட்டர் வி ஆர் கோயிங் நெகேட் தி வேர்ல்ட் தட்ஸ் டிஃபரண்ட் திங் பட் இனிஷியலி வி ஹேவ் டு ஸ்டார்ட் ஃப்ரம் தி நோன் டு அன்னோன் இட்ஸ் கால்ட் ஆகாங்க்ஷா பத்தி வி ஹேவ் டு கோ ஃப்ரம் தி நோன் டு தி அன்னோன் வாட் இஸ் நோன் டு மீ யூ ஹேவ் டு டேக் இட் going from the known to the unknown is called akanksha paddhati.
Akanksha
paddhati paddhati chana adu enna appadi kekkadhu. For example solrana, I'll let you know, tell you. Ipo simply says I am seeing. Okay, also I say he sees. Then you can ask the question, sees. From there you can ask the question, sees what? You all know, sees what? Sees the mic. Okay. Then you can ask the question. Which mic? Say this mic. Where? No, he sees where? Here in the classroom. Sees how? Through his eyes. When? Sees when? In the morning. You know, that is, if you ask question, you get the question. Then you get long, then you get answer. He sees the mic in the classroom in the morning through his eyes. That's a sentence. Then you get a complete answer. It's called akanksha paddhati. From the known to the unknown. Start from something. Akanksha paddhati. Paddhati. Paddhati na the method.
Paddhati, okay.
Paddhati na murai. The method. See, akanksha is a curiosity. Your curiosity is raised in you. So if you know, you go to the unknown from the known. Suppose you only know this much. He sees is the known to you. And the question is, you are curious. Sees what? Then you say, where? When? How? You ask all the questions, you get an answer. So you get a complete detail. From the known, you have gone to the unknown. See, there's a big difference in saying, I am not the body, I am different from the body. You need to say, I am not. Even though neti neti is there, it's not totally saying, he does say, but really doesn't emphasize this. He does not give on saying not. He doesn't like it. Yenendu, it's relatively we need to have this. Chumma understand panikkiradhukka use pandranga. Method is used to understand. But we are understanding. Not to say it is apna we had final result. Aham also had to go. And aham. Then we are sitting there. You have to solve the aham also finally. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Sadashiva Samarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shrutisvati Purananam Alayam Karunalayam Namami Bhagavat Pada Shankaram Loka Shankaram Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Kritau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Om Sahana Vavato Sahana Bhunakto Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Sakrut Shravana Matrena
Sakrut Shravana
Matrena Brahma Jnanam Yato Bhavet
Brahma Jnanam Yato Bhavet
Brahma Jnanavali Mala
Brahma Jnanavali Mala
Sarvesha Moksha Siddhaye
Sarvesha Moksha Siddhaye
Here is the text with the title Brahma Jnanavali Mala. And this text, Brahma Jnanavali Mala, should serve a purpose. What purpose does it serve? Is Moksha Siddhihi. Moksha Siddhihi. Siddhihi means accomplishment. And Moksha Eva Siddhihi, Moksha Siddhihi. This is for the accomplishment in terms of moksha. Not for the, you don't say attainment of, for the accomplishment of, accomplishment in terms of moksha. So for accomplishing moksha, this text is here. So, Brahma Jnanavali Mala Moksha Siddhaye. So, Siddhihi is Ikaranta Stilinga Shabdaha. So, in dative case, Siddhaye. So, for accomplishing the moksha, Brahma Jnanavali Mala is here. For whose moksha? Whoever is a mukshu, sarvesha mukshunam. It is for the accomplishment of moksha of all the people. The Brahma Jnanavali Mala is here. Sarvesha moksha siddhaye, it is sarvesha means of all the people, for all the people. Why? Because yataha Brahma Jnanam bhavet. From which, from this Brahma Jnanavali Mala, Brahma Jnanam will happen. How will Brahma Jnanam happen from this Brahma Jnanavali Mala? Just by reading it? Just by repeating the words? No. Shravana Matrena. Shravana Matrena means only through the listening to the unfoldment of the words here. Shravana Matrena means only through Shravanam of this text, Brahma Jnanavali Mala, from which Brahma Jnanam will happen. And this text is here for all the people for accomplishing the moksha. This is the meaning of the first verse. But only the word he adds, the sakrit. Sakrit means once. I eat only once in a day. Sakrit khadami. You mean what? That's not true. Only once. Sakrit means once. Sakrit means separate. Sakrit means different. Sakrit gives different meanings in different contexts. Just by listening to the unfoldment of this, listening to the unfoldment of the words of this Brahmajnanavali Mala, from which knowledge will take place, is here, it's meant for the accomplishment of moksha for all the people. All the people, or all the mukshus, not for everybody, or all the mukshus. If there is no interest in moksha, how can moksha happen? They can't even listen to this. Therefore, sakrut shavana matrena means by listening to the unfoldment of this text called Brahmajnanavali Mala, once with Shraddha, from which knowledge will take place. And such a text is here for the accomplishment of moksha for all the people. Which means all those people, mukshus, who have aspiration to attain moksha, definitely should attain Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam itself is moksha. There is no moksha. For moksha siddhihi, what we need is Brahma Jnanam. Because Brahma Jnanam itself is moksha siddhihi, accomplishment of moksha. And for Brahma Jnanam, we need Shravanam. Shravana Matrena. So Shravanam means what? What should we? Shravanam is listening. What should we listen to? We listen to the unfoldment of the Vedanta Shastra. But Vedanta Shastra, the essence of the Vedanta Shastra is given here, the verses of Brahmajnanavali Mala. If we are listening to the unfoldment of these words, definitely will result in the attainment of Brahmajnanam, which is by which all the people can accomplish moksha. This is the meaning. And I explained the meaning of the title. The meaning of the title, Brahmajnanavali Mala. I told you. Brahmajnanavali means what? So there are so many words are used in the Shastram, and each word implies the reality in terms of its nature. So all those words implying the nature of reality in terms of given nature. All those words are also called what now? Jnanavali. Avalihi. Therefore, this is called Brahma Jnanavali Mala. This text consisting of words revealing the nature of Brahman. Therefore, it's called Brahma Jnanavali Mala. Mala is a garland. The whole work is looked upon as a garland of verses. Garland tied of verses consisting of words revealing the nature of Brahman. Therefore, the text is called Brahma Jnanavali Mala. Sakrit. Therefore, just only by hearing, it's not merely hearing, listening to Shravanam, the word Shravanam, literally, grammatically, we say Shravanam, you know, is what? Shunoti is the verb and Shru is the dhatu. Then Shravanam is listening. It's a gerund. But listening to what? How? Simply listening to what? Listening to the unfoldment of the Vedantic words. Here, is it presented in this text? Listening to the unfoldment of the words revealing the nature of revealing Brahman in terms of its nature. What is the meaning? Because simply listening. Listening itself implies what? Listening to unfoldment of the words, revealing the nature of Brahman in terms of its nature. Is it clear? And those words have the author of the supposed Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada has attained this text. It's assumed, okay, it's believed that this text, people think that this must have been written by Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada. So we also take it. Doesn't matter whoever has written it. So if even Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada has written this text, has he coined these new words? Has he used his own words? No. All these words which have been used here, mentioned here, the words in this text are all from the Shastra only. Suppose you hear the word Sat Nityam, Nitya is a word already used in the Shastra. The words, there are specific words which reveal, which imply the reality in terms of its corresponding given nature. All those words from the Shastram are brought here together. Therefore, Shravanam always implies listening to the unfoldment of the words, the meaning of the words, revealing Brahman in terms of its given nature. And Shravanam itself, when you repeatedly listen the same thing, and you are with the nature of Brahman. So listening to the unfoldment of the nature of the reality is actually inquiry into the nature of the reality. And inquiry into the nature of the reality means placing the attention in the nature of the reality. And placing the attention in the nature of reality means being with the reality. For attention is, wherever your attention is, you are with that. Where you are, physically you may be sitting wherever you want to be. But where your attention is, you are there. If you are in Manjakudi, if your mind is in Sri Lanka, Dodalu, you are living with Dodalu only. Isn't it? Where you are, where your attention, you are where your attention is. Doesn't matter physically where you are, mentally where you are, where your attention is. That is the most difficult thing. Physically we can be anywhere, but mentally we are all over we are. Isn't it? Therefore, here Shravanam is not, don't take the word Shravanam for granted, okay? Shravanam, I'm talking, you are listening, you are hearing sometimes, you are listening, but listening is Shravanam. And listening to what is makes a Shravanam here? Any listening is listening. But according to Shastram, listening is to the unfoldment of the meaning of the words revealing the reality in terms of its given nature. When your attention is placed in that, it is listening, isn't it? So you are with the nature of the reality. You are with the reality. And being with reality is what? Being with your own Swarupam, being with yourself. And being with yourself is just being. It is contemplation. The Sakrut Shravana Matre is all very important. These are the very important things. These are the kindergarten verses. Nothing much to understand. These are the few small things you have to pay attention to. Sakrut Shravana Matrena Brahma Jnanam Yato Bhavet Brahma Jnana Vali Mala Sarvesha Moksha Siddhaye.
Sarvesha Moksha Siddhaye.
You have to make the meaning like this. This work with the title Brahma Jnanavali Mala. So this text Brahma Jnanavali Mala is for the accomplishment of moksha. And because Brahma Jnanam is the means of accomplishing moksha. And by listening to unfoldment of the words of the this text, Brahma Jnanam will happen. That is the meaning here. We'll go next one. Shravana Matrena, by listening. Only by listening. Not by reading, not by chanting, not by memorizing, not by anything. Only by listening. See, the thing is, by listening to this, only once they say. No, only by listening. Not by meditating. I meditate on the words. Let me tell you. There are a lot of people interested in meditating on the words. Meditating upon the words will not give you jnanam. Meditating upon the meaning of the words will give you jnanam. And meditating upon the meaning of the words presupposes having understanding of the meaning of the words. Understanding presupposes listening. Without shravanam, you cannot have the knowledge of the meaning of the words. Is it this way? Matram means only. Only by listening. Kevala shravanena. That's the meaning. Shravana matrena means only by listening to the unfoldment of the words, revealing the Brahman in terms of its given nature, one can have Brahma jnanam. So shravanam eva jnana sadhanam. Shravanam is jnana sadhanam. Natu dhyanam, natu karma, natu parayanam, natu anything, nothing. Nothing else will give you jnanam. What will give you jnanam? Shravanam alone will give you Brahma jnanam. Shravanam of what? Listening to the what? Listening to the unfoldment of the words. Revealing Brahman in terms of its given nature. Therefore, Brahma Jnanavali Mala consists of words revealing the nature of, revealing Brahman in terms of its given nature. Therefore, this text, which will help us attain moksha, is meant for the accomplishment of moksha. Ultimate of jnanam is meant for accomplishment of moksha. We'll go next one. Asangoham, asangoham.
Asangoham,
asangoham. Asangoham, punah punah.
Asangoham, punah punah.
Sachidananda rupoham.
Sachidananda rupoham.
Ahameva ahamauyayah.
Ahameva ahamauyayah.
Asangoham, 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 aham punah punah.
Asangoham,
asangoham, asangoham, punah punah. Asangoham, 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 punah punah.
Asangoham, asangoham, asangoham.
Sachidananda rupoham ahameva ahamauyayah.
Sachidananda rupoham ahameva ahamauyayah.
But if I chant, you can say together, asangoham, 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 punah punah.
Asangoham,
asangoham, asangoham, punah punah. Sachidananda swaroopoham ahameva ahamauyayah.
Sachidananda rupoham ahameva ahamauyayah.
Okay. So punah punah. Repeatedly, I dwell upon. Repeatedly, I see this fact. I repeatedly place my attention in my nature. What is that? Aham asangaha. Aham asangaha. Aham asangaha. But asangaha aham. Asangaha aham. Asangaha aham. So here, first let us treat this. Then Sachidananda Swarupaha aham eva aham avyayaha. Again eva now is an indicable word used sometimes to adjust the meter also. Nothing much here, but still other words are important. So most important thing is asangaha. So one word is repeated. You need to know what is this word asangaha. Asangaha is one of the words revealing the reality Brahman in terms of its given nature. Take this one word asangaha. So seeing the meaning of this word asangaha is what? Being contemplative, inquiring into the nature of the reality. And here we don't see the nature of the each word. Not only the word reveals the nature of the reality, because it is reveals the nature of myself, because that reality of the whole jagat, which is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahman, is none other than is my own swarupam, obtaining as my own swarupam. Therefore I am Brahma, I am Brahman, I am the absolute reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma. And that Brahma, what one word is what here? Asangaha. Aham Brahma asmi, therefore aham asangaha. Brahman is asangaha, I am Brahman, therefore aham asangaha. Okay, absolute reality is asangaha. And aham, the reality. Therefore I am asangaha. So what is asangaha? So sangaha means touched. Sangaha is association. And asangaha means untouched, unattached, untouched, untainted, unafflicted. So here we saw yesterday very clearly, when we see, when we distinguish this I from the anatma, the Shastra repeatedly says one thing. What is that? In Taittiriya Upanishad it is made very clear. Brahmavit paramapnoti. One who knows the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman alone attains moksha. Which means attainment of knowledge of the reality is attainment of moksha. They're not two different things. Jnanam and moksha are identical. And that absolute reality, here we don't say that absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, how to arrive at it, is of this nature. What? Satyam jnanam anantam. That absolute reality is of the nature of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, and which alone is obtaining the existence of everything, which is of the nature of limitlessness. When you learn all these things, you understand, okay, I need to know Brahman, the absolute reality, to attain moksha. Knowledge is moksha, and that Brahman is of this nature. We'll be wondering. But Shastra, next third line says, that Brahman, which is of this nature, which is of the nature of consciousness, existence and limitlessness, is not anywhere, has to be arrived at only in your own mind, in the cave of mind, obtaining as very swarupam of you. That is also said there. Yo vedanihi tanguhayam paramevyo man. What does it mean? That reality Brahman has to be understood. It's available for recognition only in your mind. In the buddhi guha. If you go and search for it anywhere else, all that is there only Brahma. But still, to recognize Brahman as Brahman, you need to go where? Only to your own mind. Even in that mind, what you should do? Why I explained to you why buddhi is likened to a cave. Do you remember that? Remember the meaning? Why I said the buddhi guha, the mind is likened to a cave because when you enter into the cave, immediately you cannot see something. The cave means there's a treasure hunt. Treasure is somewhere hidden inside the cave, and you have to walk into the cave. And when you're walking from the entrance onwards, lot of bushes and dust and there, lots of things, you have to push. Well, the treasure is not available in the very front, okay? You have to go inside. And you know, you had to get, no, not here, not here, not here. Every step you're carefully searching for the, when you enter into the cave, carefully searching for the treasure you are searching, is it? Searching carefully, every step you're, no, not here, not here, not here, not here, not here. And you go and touch the dead end of the cave. And what the dead end of the cave is what there? No? You go, that is what I sense. Aham vritti is there. It's the dead end of the cave you have to, it's like mind likened to a cave. Because all the thoughts constitute the mind. So which thought? That is my cave. And you go inside, you go there, and there's a point comes, dead end comes of the cave, you cannot go beyond, you have to stop there, and that is what here, aham vrittihi, ahankara, aham vritti. And then you see, oh, where does this aham vritti rise from, where does it remain, where does it resolve? You look for it and you understand what is that which is always there. Even when the aham vritti is there, even when the aham vritti is not there, there is a time aham vritti remains resolved. There is something because the presence of which aham vritti being not there is known. There is something because the presence of which aham vritti being present is known in the waking. And that is distinct from the aham vritti. That is the source of aham vritti. And what is that is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, that is the reality. That is of which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, it is chit chaitanyam. You arrive at it. Isn't it? And the chaitanyam is what here? Chaitanyam is Brahma. This is how this all pervasive reality, this the absolute reality, the truth of the whole jagat, samagrasyapi jagataha sadvastu, aham, atma surupena eva jnatam. It has to be added only as one's own surupam. That is made very clear in Taittiriya Upanishad, beautiful here. Three sentences are very, very beautiful. What is, first, what are you seeking, searching for? Moksha. What should do for moksha? What will make give you moksha? Only Brahma Jnanam. So what is said here? Brahma with Paramapnoti. So what is the Brahman? Oh, Hatyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Okay, this is nature of Brahman, reality. This is how Brahman is. Brahman is the pure knowledge. Brahman is the of your existence. Brahman, that Brahman, which is the nature of pure knowledge. The reality implied with the term Brahman, which is of the nature of knowledge, which is of the nature of existence, and which is of the nature of limitlessness. Okay? Where is it? How to recognize it? All that is, there is only the Brahman. But how to recognize? We will struggle. Immediately Upanishad has to understand our restlessness and desperateness. So immediately what? Yove danihitam guhayam. Guhayam nihitam. It is kept hidden in the cave of mind as the swarupam of I. Isn't it? This is Bhagavan is called Marai Purul. Marenda Paramparul, Marendrikinda Paramparul. Isn't it? Marayum Purul. Marai Purul. Also, Veda Vishaya. Marai also is called Veda. Because it is the subject matter of the Veda. And that's why Bhagavan also called Guhaha. I told you many times. Why Bhagavan is known by the term Guhaha? Because Buddhi Guhaya, because there is no Lord other than the reality. The reality which enjoys the status of being the Lord remains hidden in the cave of your own mind as the truth of yourself. The reality obtaining as the truth of the searcher. As long as you do not know that you are the searcher, reality is available there as the very Swarupa of the searcher will continue to be a searcher endlessly, searching for the truth, not being able to discover it. He stops searching outside when he discovers his own Swarupa being the truth. The search comes to an end. Isn't it? Available as the Swarupam of the searcher. It is not the searched. Isn't it? What is searched is not there as this object. Available for recognition as the Swarupam of the searcher. Therefore, that's what is said in the second sentence. Isn't it? No one should understand that reality here is what now? You arrive at it, the I, and you see that what is it, that reality is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And the consciousness alone rises as vrittis, remains as vrittis and resolves that here. But the consciousness by itself is what? Not touched by the vritti. No vritti can touch the consciousness. No thought can touch. Thought cannot. That's why consciousness, the reality, which is of the nature of knowing, thereby implied by the term knowledge, the consciousness, can never be conceived, can never be an object of, is not available for thought conception. Why? Because the swarupam of the conceiver can never become the object of conception, isn't it? Can never be available for conception. The swarupam of the perceiver can never be available, no, for perception. The swarupam of the knower can never become the object of knowledge. So it's not available for word description, not available for thought conception, not available for sense perception. Why? Because it is reality is that the very swarupam of the knower, perceiver, a thinker, the swarupam of the I. And that reality is not touched by anything else. When you say all that is here is what now? The thoughts. The thoughts do not have independent existence outside of reality, nor the sense powers have independent existence outside of the reality, nor the powers of organs of actions, nor the pranas, nor the physical body, not even the matter or the material universe has enjoys independent existence. Therefore, when you say all that is here is, all that is here is only the manifestation of knowledge. Yesterday also explained that. Everything that is here is only manifestation of knowledge. There is only knowledge. See, for one thing to be touched, for one thing to touch, there must be two. What is, there is only one satyam. And other than the reality, whatever is what? Only mithya. So mithya prapanchaha, which is nothing but manifestation of the satyam, cannot touch the satyam. Nothing, neither the thought, nor the sense powers, sense organs, nor the activities, nor the physical thing, nothing can touch, nothing can taint, nothing can afflict the reality. Is ever untouched, ever unafflicted, ever asangaha. So without the reality, no action is possible. But all the actions, but reality by itself is not involved in any of the actions. Without reality, no thinking is possible. But think, no, but the reality does not think. Without the reality, no perception is possible. But reality does not perceive. Without reality, without the reality, the Brahman, Atma, no physical activities are possible. But reality is not involved in any of the activities. Atma is not involved in any of the mental, oral, physical, sensory functions or activities. But without the Atma, nothing is possible. Therefore, Atma is free from what? Atma is not touched by anything. Atma is untainted. Atma is unafflicted. Atma is free from all forms of activities, all forms of functions. Atma is not touched. So here, I'll tell you, I can give an example here. See, all these opaque things which are illumined here, they shine. The very fact that the opaque things are shining because they're illumined. If the opaque things cannot, the opaque things enjoy the status of being existent because they're all shining. They're shining. And opaque things are shining because they are illumined. They're illumined because there is illumination, and there's illumination because there is illuminator. And illuminator is the light. And you understand, even though you call light illuminator, illuminator is only a temporary status attributed to the light. There is no illuminator other than the light. Illuminator is light, means you have resolved illuminator status in the light. It's all not, nothing is new here. Old lessons. But I'm just bringing you only to bring you to this asangaha. Only light. And you say, light is all the opaque things shine. And the opaque thing, light and the opaque things, are they one? Definitely they're not one. Are they two? They're not two also. Why we can say light is completely different, opaque things are different? Why can't we say they're two? They're not two. Why? Because are they one then? No, they're not one. Light is self-luminous. Opaque things shine after the light. How can we say they're one? We cannot say they're one. Definitely they're not one. Light is distinct. Light is different. Opaque things are different. But different, can we say they're two then? Light is one, opaque things are second, number two. No. We cannot say they're two also, because these opaque things, if they can exist independently without the presence of the light, we can count them as a second parallel reality, isn't it? But these opaque things cannot exist independently. They lose their status of being existent in the absence of the light. Therefore, all that, whenever, wherever the opaque thing shines, the shining of opaque things, the opaque thing enjoying the status of being existent presupposes the presence of the light. Opaque thing is means light is. Therefore, the opaque thing is. You say, wave is means water is. Therefore, wave is. There can't be something called wave without the water. Similarly, there cannot be something called opaque thing without the light. The light alone is. Therefore, opaque things are mithya. Light is satyam. Because light can be with independently without the opaque things around. The same way, opaque things cannot be means what? Cannot have the status of being existent. Very important. I'm not saying cannot be, okay? Cannot have the status of being existent without the presence of the light. Therefore, light is satyam, opaque things are mithya. You say satyam and mithya. What is mithya? Resolved mithya in satyam. Mithya is only as good as non-existent. Mithya is not non-existent, unreal, but mithya is as good as non-existent. And mithya is satyam. Like light is not the opaque, but every opaque is light. How do we say that? Every opaque serves as a reflecting medium for the light. Therefore, every opaque thing, with reference to, from the standpoint of the opaque thing, we say light is the reflected light. In the absence of the opaque thing, what is light? Pure light. Is there something called pure light and reflected light? No. There is no such thing called pure light and reflected light. Still, why do we get two adjectives? The same light, the absence of opaque thing, is what? Pure light. In the standpoint of the opaque thing, it is reflected light. Then we say, and this opaque thing doesn't have an independent existence. We can say what? First we say, every opaque thing is, which is a reflecting medium, is a reflection of the light. The opaque thing which serves as a reflecting medium for the light is a reflection of the light. Why do I say reflecting medium as a reflection of the light? Because without the light, the reflecting medium doesn't have independent existence. We understand the sentence, okay? The opaque thing which serves as a reflecting medium for the light doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, every reflecting medium is reflection of the light. Is it clear? Very important, I'm saying, reflection of the light. Therefore, everything is reflection of the light means reflection is of the light. Therefore, everything is light. Is it clear? All that is here is only the light. All the reflections are mithya. Understand? Mithya is satyam. Reflections are of satyam only, light. All it is, there is only light. When you say, how can the mithya opaque thing, which enjoys its existence in the presence of the light, touch the light? How can it afflict the light, affect the light? The opaque, which shines in the presence of the light, cannot touch, need not touch, cannot touch, cannot harm. The wave can never touch the water. The wave need not touch the water. The wave cannot touch the water. The wave cannot do any harm to the water. The wave cannot afflict the water, affect the water. Why? Because the wave itself is water. There's nothing other than, is it clear? The same way. Now, extend this example now. So, the entire jagat is like what? Atma is pure, the absolute reality implied by the term Atma and Brahman is pure what? No, pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Only in the presence of which everything becomes known, everything enjoys the status of being existent. Everything else other than the Atma has the status of being existent because everything is known. Is it clear? And this, what is known is what? Other than Atma, everything else is what? The inert matter. Other than the reality, implied by the term Atma, everything else is inert matter. And can we say consciousness and matter are two? Are they two? Are they one? They are not one. Consciousness and, see, I tell you, what is matter? Other than Atma, everything else is only matter. Right from Ahankar, Ahankara onwards, all the Vrittayaha, all the thoughts, the entire, everything else is the entire universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, is nothing but matter. So everything is matter here means, is consciousness and matter one? Definitely they are not one. Why they are not one? Because consciousness is different. Matter is of the nature of inertness. How can you say they are one? They are not one. Are they two? They are not two also. Why they are not two? Because matter does not, if matter can enjoy existence independently without the Atma, then matter can be counted as a parallel reality. Now, matter is non-countable as a parallel reality because matter has no independent existence. The matter is dependent on the consciousness for its very existence. Therefore, matter is mithya. It's the consciousness, the satyam. Consciousness is satyam, matter is mithya, and mithya is satyam. Mithya is satyam. Therefore, everything here, right from the thought, through the thought, sense powers, through the sense powers, the entire external world, everything is what? Everything serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. And therefore, everything which serves the manifesting medium for consciousness is manifestation of consciousness. Why? Because it has no independent existence. You don't call a manifesting medium an independent thing. Therefore, a manifesting medium is manifestation of consciousness. So manifestation is of the consciousness. Manifestations are mithya. Therefore, consciousness alone is satyam. Manifestation is of the consciousness. Therefore, we say no manifestation can cause touch its original swarupa. Need not touch because it is that. Manifestation is the truth. It cannot touch, it need not touch. See what I'm saying? It is that. Therefore, there's nothing can touch the awareness in the presence of which everything shines. Anything and everything which enjoys the status of being existent enjoys its existence itself where? In the very awareness, in the very consciousness. உணர்வில் விளங்குகின்ற எதுவுமே உணர்வை தொட முடியுமா? இல்லையா? உணர்வில் விளங்குகின்றவை எல்லாம் உணர்வை தொட முடியாதவை. எல்லாமே உணர்வின் தோற்றம். எவ்ரிதிங் ஷைன்ஸ் தி பிரசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் அவேர்னஸ், நத்திங் கேன் டச் தி அவேர்னஸ். இட் கேனாட் டச், கேனாட் டச், இட் கேனாட் அஃப்ளிக்ட் எனிதிங். தேர்ஃபோர் கான்ஷியஸ்னஸ் இஸ் ஃப்ரீ ஃப்ரம் தாட்ஸ், free from sense powers, free from powers of organs of actions. It is free from the physiological functions, free from all the physical forms, free from all the activities, free from all the functions. It is free. Without the consciousness, the reality, there cannot be functions, there cannot be powers, there cannot be matter. But consciousness is free from everything. Does it make sense? Therefore, asangaha. And that reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, I am unafflicted, untainted, untouched reality, obtaining in the realm of pure knowledge, is of the nature of all pervasives, implied by the term Atma. I am untouched, untainted, unafflicted reality, Atma. Asangaha aham. Do you see this or not? Are you seeing this or not? I'm asking you. Don't mechanically listen to this. You have to see where is the I. That's why yesterday so much of introduction I had to give. I will simply read asangaha in translation. I'm untouched. It will not work. You have to see. So that's why the class itself is a contemplation only. You have to be with that. See, the I sense itself is very subtle. Isn't it? The subtlest and the high, I told you many times, highest form of manifestations of knowledge is the I sense. Isn't it? So knowledge is manifest as this is. Any piece of knowledge is what? Manifestation of knowledge. But the manifestation of knowledge of existence of one's own self is what? The highest form of manifestation. That is the height, no? All the nature has gone that far. That's why I told many times, asmi, aham asmi, I am. Iti jnanam is also what? Devi. Any manifestation of power of knowledge is what? Manifestation of power of the reality. Obtaining in him a pure knowledge is called what? Manifestation of knowledge. The manifestation of the power of knowledge is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, as asmi iti jnanam is called what? Asmita. And we look at it as Devi. Asmita e namaha. let the husband come across his word, asmita. Because in what is the highest form of manifestations? If you ask, there's nothing higher than the knowledge I am. Knowledge I am itself is what? Highest form of manifestations. And because of which you are able to discover what you are. And that knowledge is definitely, I is the distinct, isn't it, distinct from the all the aspects which constitute the individual. And you search for that I, it rises from where? It exists where? It resolves where? The anything other than that I? What is there is the formless reality which is of the nature of knowing. You only understand the reality being there in terms of its nature of knowing. You arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Isn't it? Because I sense is resolved, I sense being resolved, I sense being not there is known. How is it known? There must be something else because the presence of which I sense being not there is known. And that which is there, because of the presence of which I sense being not there is known, is the reality. And what form does it have? No form. You understand the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, you use the term chit, jnana. And that reality alone is Satyam, which is the Swarupam of I. That is where you can identify, I has to be identified with. I should be identified with what? Where it should be resolved. Wave should be identified with what? It's water. I should be identified with that reality. And we say, that is only the implicit term Brahman. Because the whole jagat is what? Only of the nature of inertness. Why? Because in the entire objective universe, including our body, mind, and complex, is what? Is of the nature of inertness. And the anything which is of the nature of inertness cannot have, does not have independent existence. Yadyad drishyam tattad jadam. Because the object of the world enjoys the status of being an object itself is the proof that it is of the nature of the inertness. Got it? Therefore, this inert material objective universe, including one's body, mind, and complex, does not have independent existence outside of the reality obtaining as a swarupam of I, which is pure consciousness. Therefore, we say what? The whole Mithya Jagat Satyam Brahma. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. What is all the Jiva is what? Atma. Therefore, here, the Jagat, it's exactly like what? Jagat cannot. Jagat is Mithya Jagat, being the manifestation of consciousness, being the manifestation of knowledge. All that is there is only Brahma. Chaitanyam. The entire universe is manifestation of only knowledge, pure knowledge. All that is here is only jnanam, only knowledge. Therefore, nothing can touch the jnanam. Your essence has been resolved in that jnanam, then you are free. Only then you can say, asangoham, 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 punah punah. I am untouched by anything here. Body is touched, that's a different thing. I am untouched means I am unafflicted. I am unaffected. Have you understood or not? If you have not understood, I will not go ahead further. I will stop here. I will make you understand. I'm unassociated. Association needs more. Isn't it one thing more? Isn't it more than one? When we say there's a second nothing other than the reality. There is nothing other than the reality. All that is there is only the reality. Because one is manifestation of the only reality. Everything is manifestation of the only knowledge, only truth. Second thing being not there, where is the affliction for the Atma? Where is the attachment for the Atma? Where is the association for the Atma? There is neither association possible nor dissociation possible. Association itself is not there. Where is the question of dissociation? Isn't it? Association itself is not there. Where is the dissociation then? Where is separation? Whatever comes and goes is not you. You are the witness of things which are coming and going. You are Atma and you are Asangaha. If you have the understanding and you have to really see this, this is a fact. Asangoham, 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 punaf punaha.
Asangoham, 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 punaf punaha.
I think yesterday's introduction, I should have continued a little more, I think. Sachidananda swarupoham, ahamevahamoyayah.
Sachidananda swarupoham.
So here, so aham asangaha will be much clearer if we understand aham sachidananda swarupaha. So aham means I. What is aham? Sanskrit word for aham, the I is what? Aham. Aham, I, the self, am of the nature of pure consciousness. I, the self, am of the nature of pure consciousness. Chit. Even though the word sati sa is used because akara is, comes, because in all particular order they put this word sat first. Actually it might be chit sat ananda. It must be that is the actual, you can never arrive at the nature of the reality as sat first. Always you can arrive at the reality, nature of the reality only as chit. Because chit is awareness, chit is consciousness, chit means knowledge. And we saw, and for this, we always, the best thing we take is what? Only avasthatriya prakriya. We repeat, we have to take, analyze this three states of experience. We leave the experienced world here. We leave the experienced world. We take only this experience, the three states of experience. Hey, what are the states of experience? State of experience is nothing but the state of mind. That is how the mind is. You cannot understand mind otherwise. In how the mind is, mind is in threefold forms of three states of experience. The form of three states of experience. The state of experience, jagrat avastha, where you are aware, where you are, knowingly you are, knowing you are, and where you are, the world is for you. The world is, you are, knowingly you are. Knowing you are in waking state. And there is a dream. In the dream also you are. In dream you are. But the dream, this waking universe is not. There is a different universe is there in the dream. The dream also there is a world. There is a dream world. There is a dreamer. And the dream also you are. If you say you are not there in dream, then who can next day narrate the dream? Subjectively real universe. You can explain next day. But it is not real for others, us. But still you can. Other people, it's not real. It is very real for you. And that is also what? It's not absolutely real, of course. It is also there. and that you are able to narrate the experience means you are very much there. The possibility of narrating the whole dream itself is because of your presence. You are very much there. So in waking you are there, in dream you are there, in deep sleep state also you are not knowing you are. Only difference is what? You are not knowing you are. Never a time you are not. You are always. In waking you are. In dream you are. In sleep you are. In sleep you are not knowing you are. In waking you are knowing you are. And you know you are in the waking. And you know that you are not knowing you are in deep sleep state. That you can tell on waking up from sleep. Which means, is it clear? That you who's always there. The three states of experience are discontinuous. Each set of experience is discontinuous. So the other set of experience can happen. They are different and discontinuous. They are variable. So in all these discontinuous, variable, different states of experience, that you are invariably, continuously present. And that you actually are essentially the awareness, the pure knowledge. You are of the nature of knowing. Arrive at it. You don't undergo change. You are there. The states of mind change. The states of experience change. But you do not undergo any change. What is there changelessly in all the changing states of experience is the reality implied by the term Atma. And that Atma is what one we see, and that therefore that is what is the awareness. How do you know the state of mind changes? How do you know? How do you know the state of mind changes? There's different experience. How do you differentiate the experience? If you also change, if you also know you're not there, you cannot talk about the difference in states of experience. The very fact that you are able to distinguish one state of experience, the other state of experience is what? You are there witnessing. Understand? Therefore, you are distinct from, you are the witness, distinct from the witnessed states of mind. That you, the distinct witnessing person, you are distinct from the witnessed states of mind. And that you, if you say, what is that? You are the reality which is of the nature of formlessness, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, chit. You can always arrive at the reality. Please understand these facts. Shastram says this. There is no way of arriving at the reality as an object. Point one. The reality of the whole cosmos has to be arrived at only as the truth of the I. Subject of knowledge in one's own mind through this analysis. And when you arrive at the reality also as the surupam of the knower, I the subject, you understand the reality, you can arrive at the reality only in terms of the nature of its knowing. Chidrupenaiva vastu avagamyate. Only in terms of its nature of knowing you can arrive at the reality. You can never arrive at the reality as the, in terms of its nature of existence. No. First you have to arrive at the nature of the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. That is why jnanam is so important. The word jnanam is so important word, I tell you. More than the word chitta, because I like that because Swamiji always he emphasizes that word. Jnanam. In what form does the reality obtain? When you arrive at it, you stumble upon the reality. You understand, okay, that there is something because of the presence of which, okay, the knowledge I am being not there in deep sleep state is known. What is that? In what form does it obtain? There is something. In what form does it obtain? Only in the form of knowledge. That is how you arrive at it. Understand. Okay? You understand the reality. And Swamiji, I tell you, 108,000 would have heard Swamiji saying, the reality has to be understood only in terms of its nature of knowing. In terms of its nature. In terms of its nature of knowing. There were very special classes we had with Swamiji, I tell you. I can tell you, my board is because of what Swami heard from Swamiji. That's true, isn't it? See, when Swamiji, as he's talking, he gives vision. Don't you see this now? No, don't you simply say, yes. You have to see this. Only it doesn't know. Therefore, it is implied by the term jnanam, I said. And another word used to mean the word jnanam is chit. And we can say chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is consciousness. We don't need to say shuddha chaitanyam, pure. We don't need to say. We can just say consciousness. The pure has to be added only to distinguish it from its manifestation. Understand? Consciousness of the chit. So, chit rupaha, chidrupoham. Chidrupoham means what? I self am of the nature of consciousness. See, very difficult. In fact, the more you listen to this, more you lose your identity. You lose your identity. Slowly, some people, it's very frightening. If you are not prepared for this, losing the individuality is very, very frightening. You know that? Because we are not that, yeah. We are not that contemplative. Now, because, so repeated listening slowly, if you lose, means you can still be very, very practical. You can be in the world, enjoying the physical existence. At the same time, completely you can be untouched. Untouched means what? I mean, the perception changes and then you will not be affected by anything. See, he didn't say anything. No. Who cares? You can just be, you allow the world to be what it is. No external situation needs to affect us. Really, will not affect us. The afflictedness itself is because of this, isn't it? Isolation of myself from the world and seeing myself as the body mental complex. The afflictedness is purely because of seeing myself as the body mental complex. We're not denying the fact that we are all endowed with the body mental complex. But definitely, we have to see the fact of what we are essentially. Isn't it? Essentially, I, the self, am of the nature of consciousness. Chit. Chidrupoham. Once you understand you are the chit, you also say what? No, everything else in the world is the matter does not have independent existence of its own means. Now the world is, when you say, the world enjoys its existence. World is means, the world is or not? The world is. Why it is? Because I'm experiencing this world. I'm experiencing this world. The world is. The world is means, and the world is world. The world is known. The world does not have independent existence of its own. The world is means the world is known. This morning I mentioned this. The world is means the world is known. The world is not known, you cannot say the world is. In sleep, the world is. But still for you, the world is not. Why? The world is not known. For the world to have the status, Swami always likes this expression, for the world to enjoy the status of being existent, the world exists, but it loses its status of being existent in sleep. Isn't it? The world doesn't exist for you. For the world to have the status of being existent, jagataha astitvam, if the world not says existent, it must become the known. For it to become the known, there must be knowledge. Knowledge of the world to be there, there must be the knower. And who is the knower? I am the knower. If I am the knower, who am I? Actually speaking, we understand, I the self am the pure knowledge means, in fact, the knower is knowledge. The knower is knowledge, the knower is Chaitanyam. The knower is consciousness. But consciousness is not the knower. Knower is a temporary status attributed to the reality in the obtaining of knowledge. Do you see the fact? The knower is only a temporary qualification attributed to the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge from the standpoint of the known. You resolve the knower status in the reality, resolve the I in the reality, you see what? There's only knowledge. Therefore, the world doesn't enjoy, the existence enjoyed by the world is what? Nothing but knowledge. Esther also told you this. Existence and knowledge are not two different things. Existence or knowledge alone is in the form of existence of the world. Like what? It is, we can say, with reference to ocean, what does the word existence mean? When you say ocean is, means water is. There is no such a thing called existence of the ocean outside of, independent of water. Their existence enjoyed by the form and name ocean is nothing but existence of the water. Therefore, water alone is in the form of the existence of the ocean. Similarly, here it is the chit alone is in the form of existence of the universe. Minus water, the form and name ocean will lose its existence. Therefore, existence of the ocean is the water. Similarly, existence of the universe, including one's body, mind and complex, is the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Existence is consciousness. Consciousness alone is in the form of existence of the namarupa karmatmakam jagat. They are not two. Do you see that? With reference to ocean, existence, the meaning of the word existence is water. Similarly, with reference to this universe, the meaning of the word existence is the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, the consciousness. Chit alone is nafsat. Therefore, aham chidrupoham, chidrupaham. Therefore, sadrupaha api aham. Sadrupoham. I the self am of the nature of existence of the universe. So existence of the light is existence of the opaque. Existence enjoyed by the opaque is the light, belongs to the light. Similarly, existence enjoyed by the inert material objective universe is not nothing but consciousness. Therefore, now we say, Esther also explained this. This reality available for recognition in, as the pure knowledge, as Swarupma of one's own self, which alone is the existence of the entire universe, definitely is free from time limitation, free from spatial limitation, free from object limitation. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. And then being limitlessness is, being limitless is being happy. Limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, I, the self, am of the nature of fullness, happiness. I, the self, am of the nature of limitlessness. I, the self, am of the nature of existence. I, the self, am of the nature of pure knowledge. In fact, Chitsadananda it must be. But Akara comes first, therefore Sat comes first. Okay, Satchidananda we always say. People, if you don't understand, people always go with Sat. If you start with Chit only. Isn't it? Is it clear now? See, this all, we had to see more in this. I just want to give only whatever I have been using examples all these days, I'm repeating that, those things. Satchidananda swarupoham aham eva aham avyayaha. Next verse, avyayaha. See, vyayaha, vyeti means declines. Vyayaha means expenditure. In language, vyayaha, expenditure. Ayaha, income. Ayavyayaha means what? Varavu selavu. Ayavyayaha means varavu selavu. Kanaka. Na? Income, ayaha. Expenditure, vyayaha. Got it? But here, vyayaha means declining, diminishing, changing, reducing. It's all meaning vyayaha. So avyayaha means changeless. So all the changes are happening on the part of the material forms. All the forms which are subject to change are of the changeless reality. All the forms are subject to change. It can be form, sound form, smell form, taste form, all the forms here, only not the gross forms. All the forms are of the nature of undergoing changes. And all these forms which are subject to change are of the forms are of the changeless reality. Changeless, formless reality. Therefore, this reality is of the nature of changelessness. It is indeclinable, ever indeclinable. Matram adayadadu, maradadu. That which is of the nature of changelessness. What change does it undergo? Consciousness does not undergo any change. Reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. Does undergo any change. One thing which does not change at all, which cannot be changed at all, unchangeable, changeless, is Atma. Everything other than the Atma is what? The matter. Anatma is matter, and matter and material was all of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. What cannot be changed is the changing nature of the matter is unchangeable. The change is the unchangeable nature of the matter. Whereas Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Now let me tell you one more thing, secret thing here. Aham avyayaha. Is it clear? You have to really see the fact. Every verse you should see. Only then the trip is useful. Coming all the way, spending so much of money, time, energy, coming here, I don't want you to waste your time. I'm very happy for all that small group is here. But be with the satyam. Be with the facts. That will not remove our back pain and leg pain. That's a different thing. Our pains will be there, that I'm not saying. But at least you don't need to internalize that pain. It will help us to be objective. See, this knowledge will not change anything externally. Another big problem. People think, if I have the knowledge, I can change everything externally. No. Nothing can be changed externally. Nothing needs to be changed externally. Only our perspective has to change, which means, once I am objective towards everything, I will not internalize situations. Non-internalizing, I am unafflicted. Unaffected. That is what is muktihi, jivan muktihi. So aham avyayaha, you have to see the meaning of this word aham. Katham aham avyayaha, katham aham chit, how I myself am of the nature of pure awareness. You understood now, how I am of the nature of existence. Definitely, that what is time? Time is relative, space is relative, space and time are all objects of knowledge. And any other form other than time and space is what? Everything exists only within the realm of time and space. Time itself is relative. Time itself is an object. Space is object. What about all everything else other than time and space existing within the realm of time and space are all time-bound or spatially limited. Every object is limited, object limitation, being different from every other object. Isn't it? Therefore, and this truth of time, truth of space, there is no truth of time and truth of space other than myself, other than the Atma. So I, the Self, am the Atma, which is the nature of knowing, out of, there is no time outside of awareness, there is no space outside of the awareness, there is no form, no object outside of awareness. Therefore, Atma is what? And everything is Atma means, when you reduce the whole material object to universe as Mithya. Mithya is something inseparable, non-separate from Satyam. First of all, we need to understand, not even two. Mithya is something which is inseparable, non-separate from Satyam. Therefore, Mithya is Satyam. Therefore, and then all the changes only are on the part of the Mithya. If forms are Mithya, time is Mithya, space is Mithya, all the forms, names and functions are Mithya, what about the changes? Tell me. What about the changes? Changes also Mithya. What about the motions and movements? Is a real movement? It's also Mithya. Understand? Everything is Mithya. So Mithya movements, Mithya forms, Mithya names, Mithya functions, Mithya things, all of them are the seeming function, seeming activities, seeming everything happening what? In that formless, changeless reality, all the change, Mithya changes are happening in changeless reality. I has to be resolved only in that reality which is of the nature of changelessness. Raham avyayaha. When I was teaching this Mandukya, I told you this. Therefore, the whole universe is what? We see the movements of everything. There's a motion, constant motion. What is this motion? The jagat is mithya. What about the motion? The whole universe is itself is what? Seeming motion in motionless consciousness. I explained when in Ataraja Tattvam, remember long ago, Didymus had told this. And this is the most abstract fact. When you listen, it sounds nice. Once you see the world again, what is this? Is it real? What all we heard? It will sound like that, really speaking. Therefore, this is the most abstract fact. Aham Satchidananda Swarupaha. Aham Avyayaha. Aham Asangaha. Have you understood Aham Asangaha? Unassociated, therefore non-dissociated. No need for dissociation. Dissociation is impossible because association itself is not there.
Asangoham, 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 punah punah, sachidananda rupoham, ahamevaham avyayah. Asangoham, 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 punah punah, sachidananda rupoham, ahamevaham avyayah.
Aham avyayah. Aham avyayah. Aham asangah. Aham avyayah. Simply they repeat repetition. Sometimes adjust the meter, they repeat it. Eva means definitely. See, that eva is an indeclinable word used sometimes in the verses, poetry, to adjust the meter. Sometimes to emphasize what is being said. Aham avyayaha eva, aham asangaha eva. Definitely I, the self, am of the nature of changelessness. No doubt at all. It is, there's not at all, there's not even a tinge of doubt in this. Aham avyayaha eva, aham asangaha eva, aham asangaha eva. The eva should go with every word. Aham satchidananda swarupaha eva, aham satchideva, aham sadeva. No, aham satchidananda swarupaha eva. And eva is always used to emphasize. To make...
Aham is double.
No, repeat, many times used, yeah. See, to adjust the meter now, suppose... Asangoha, asangaha aham, asangaha aham, asangaha aham. Three times it is said. What does it mean? Repeat between, please see, I, the self, am of the nature of unafflictedness. I, the self, am of the nature of untaintedness. I am untainted, I am untouched. Repeat. Repetition is always to emphasize the fact, which means, I am free. I am asangaha means I am free. I am free from all the powers. The powers cannot limit me. I am free from. I am untouched. So not available for perception or but conception, not available for description. I am free from all the powers, but all the powers function, enjoy their existence in my presence. All are me, but I'm free from all of them. I'm free from all punya pabams. All the punya pabams are me. I'm free from all actions. All the actions are me. I'm free from all of them. I'm untouched by anything. No karma, no punyam, no papam, no action, no thinking, nothing touches. Means I am absolutely untouched, unassociated, untainted, unafflicted. So to emphasize the fact, same thing is repeated. I tell you, asangaha, one word is enough for a nidhyasana. Asangaha, something, come, pain comes, some worry comes. How will you see? What is this worry? Worry is a state of mind. obtain of a thought. It is as part of a function of meditation. Vindal Mohan order, there's some order, it's there. I am here, I doesn't have the pain. I doesn't have the pain, understand? I is, therefore pain is. Without the I, there cannot be pain. When you fast asleep, there's no I sense. Is there pain? No pain. Understand, I must be there for the pain to be there. Therefore, the pain itself enjoys what now? Dependent existence. You must be there for the pain to be there. But you are free from pain. Is it clear? I am, the pain is. But I am free from the pain. I have pain is the problem. I am, therefore the pain is. I am, therefore the desire is. I am, therefore everything is. But without me, there cannot be pain, there cannot be disease, there cannot be anything. I am free from pain. You see that? See, in methodology, be very careful when we are using what we are using. I'm not saying everything is real or anything. I'm just to distinguish. Now, when Nididhyasana, we are seeing here, it's a fact. See, what we take this I as a big thing, isn't it? The I is identified with the body mind sense complex because of the distancelessness. Just as there's no distance between the root and the tree, the root, even the root can be only as part of the tree, but root is definitely not the root is different from the whole tree, isn't it? Root cannot be by itself without the tree. The root is definitely as part of the tree, but root definitely is different from the entire tree. Similarly, here I cannot be by itself independently without this whole body mansions complex. But I is definitely distinct from the body. I is different from the body. And that I actually is identified with the, what Shastram says. That I is identified with the body, identified with the mind, identified with the sense organs, identified with everything. Therefore it's called Dehatma Buddhi Mano. Everywhere the eye sense is there. Mainly. Therefore all this, the problems, is all the whole Shastra, unless the problem is what? Your problem is because of the all the notions you have about yourself. That wrong notion is caused by a wrong identity. Because you do not know what exactly I is. That's why once you distinguish it, and that I cannot be resolved anywhere other than awareness. But you take, okay, you distinguish the I. Then take this I, okay? Just imagine physically. You distinguish the I. I definitely is distinct from, different from everything, the entire body, mind, is complex. You're very clear now. And if the I has to be expressed, it must be in the form of what? Thought only. So where will you resolve it? Where is it? Where can you resolve the I? You have to see what is there when the I is not. That is where you have to resolve the I. You have to resolve the I in that which alone is when the I sense is not. When the knowledge I am is not what is there. There only you have to resolve the I. I think you have done a good job. Don't you think so? Therefore, that is why when nothing is there, no, nothing means formless, in abstract, there are some people who have big Shiva and all, they say nothingness. There is a person who is very popular, he says Shiva is nothingness. Why? When the I is, you say, when the I is not there, what is there? Nothing tangible is there. And what is there is of the nature of knowing. That only in Advaita makes it very clear. they are not able to say that which is of the nature of knowing the real mean. They don't say. That, no, what is there is of the nature of knowing, you have to definitely understand. Therefore, what problem is what? There is nothing. நான் இல்லாத போது என்ன இருக்கிறது? ஒன்றுமில்லை. ஒன்றுமில்லையே நம்ம என்ன சொல்லணும்? என்னமோ ஹவு வாட் இஸ் தேர் இஸ் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் நோயிங் பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் தி பிரசன்ஸ் ஆஃப் விச் ஐ எம் நாட் தேர் தி நாலேஜ் ஐ எம் பீயிங் நாட் தேர் இஸ் நோன் ஆப்சன்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி நாலேஜ் ஐ எம் தி நாலேஜ் ஐ எம் பீயிங் நாட் தேர் இஸ் நோன் which means whatever is there is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, big difference. There is a nothing. Nothingness. One person talks very intellectually, he says nothingness. I was thinking, why they miss this? The tradition is not there. They, however clever they are, they can talk very beautifully, but they'll miss certain points. That is why they say nothingness. And in Tamil they say, if I goes, everything goes. Naan pona ellam poidum. They say, if I goes, everything goes. They say that. It may sound, you know, I goes, everything goes. Naan pona ellam poidum. That's true. When I sense is resolved, everything goes. Nothing is there for you. The world is not there. But what cannot go is what? The source of I. The source of the truth of I and this cannot go. That alone is. That is called Sat. Understand now? The reality obtained of knowledge alone is, therefore it is Sat. Satyam. எது இருக்கிறதோ அது சத்தியம். சோ அறிவுதான் இருக்கிறது, தேர்ஃபோர் அறிவே சத்தியம். அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வாட் ஈஸ் இஸ் நாலெட்ஜ், வாட் ஈஸ் ஈஸ் சத்தியம். நாலெட்ஜ் அலோன் ஈஸ், நாலெட்ஜ் இஸ் சத்தியம், நாலெட்ஜ் இஸ் ட்ரூத், நாலெட்ஜ் இஸ் சத். ஓகே, எம்பசிஸ். Okay, we'll see afterwards.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Satsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.